Last week we started the new chapter, Babu Tahrim Safar al-Mar'ati Wahdaha, the chapter on the prohibition of a woman traveling alone, for a woman to travel the distance of Safar. We explained the distance of Safar is a 3 day journey. 3 day journey at that time, the Fuqaha calculated that one day they would travel 16 Sharqi miles. So 3 days will be 16 times 3, meaning 48 Sharqi miles, and converted it approximately 77 kilometers. So therefore, for a woman to travel alone more than the Safar distance of 77 kilometers is prohibited. And from the different hadiths, we'll realize that there's so much of benefit in this. The West makes it seem as though a woman that is liberated, a woman that is free to travel, for her this is some type of honor. But actually Islam is taking such good care of a woman, it has given her such liberation and such honor, that in that Safar distance also, she shouldn't be left alone to travel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that she is emotionally weak, she is mentally weak, she is physically weak. So because of this weakness that she may have, she must have one mahram with her all the time to take care of her and to look after her needs. Why? Because she'll be vulnerable. Even in today's time, we might think that the journey is easy, a person is going in an aeroplane. But even in that journey also, often you'll find that a woman can fall and slip, get hurt, fall down the stairs, or something can happen to her, some physical condition, in the sense that she may fall ill, she may have some illness or heart problem, whatever it may be, or flight might be missed, and now to try and get a new flight. So she is so exposed to so many different vulnerabilities. So Islam has given her that honor. Don't worry, you don't have to take care of these things. With you, there'll be a mahram, and that mahram will help you take care of all these things. So actually, Islam has given that woman honor. So West, they try to make this seem as though there's a prohibition for a woman to travel alone, that this is something that is bringing woman down, making woman inferior. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such the beauty of a person. Just looks a little bit of beauty in his heart, he'll realize how much of respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the woman. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه أن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا يخلو أن رجل بامرأة إلا ومعها ذو محرم. هذا عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما. He says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that no man should be alone with a woman except that with her is a mahram. Why? Because Hajibai Bhajar Rahmatullahi would explain so beautifully, he would say that whenever you take butter and you put it near the fire, that butter will melt. That is the quality of the butter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this man's quality such that when he's alone with the woman, automatically some thoughts go through his mind, emotions go through him. So if he has to be in the presence of a woman for whatever reason, then there should be some other person there. And here this hadith is saying that a mahram should be there. So this is an ideal where some other person is there. And sometimes a person may be involved in business, sometimes he may be involved in his practice. So there is a need sometimes to be with a woman. For example, a nurse or person in a business, he's dealing with some customer or some supplier. Then when there's a case, extreme need like that, ulama explained, don't even be alone. Even if it means you being there, leave the door open, be in some space where there are other people there, so that a person doesn't find himself trapped by the snares of shaitan. I seen that even our seniors, our elders, our kabir, that if there was a lift, after waiting for long for a lift in a building, and a woman is alone in the lift, they won't even go into that lift. They'll wait for another lift to come. Why? They didn't want to go against this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a man shouldn't be alone with a woman. So this is from the beautiful teaching. It gives her that extra honor, and it gives that man also that extra respect, and it doesn't give a chance for any type of tuhmat. It doesn't give a chance for any type of accusations or people thinking bad about a person, seeing a person coming out alone from a place of seclusion with another woman. So this is the beautiful respect Islam has given a person. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, وَلَا تُسَافِرُ الْمَرْأَةُ إِلَّا مَعَ ذِي مَحْرَمٍ. That no woman should travel, this is the distance, suffer distance, except that with her is a mahram. فَقَالَ لَهُ رَجُلٌ. One person told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ إِمْرَأَتِي خَرَجَتْ حَاجَّةً. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if my wife is going on Hajj? My wife is going on Hajj. وَإِنِكْ تُتِبْتُ فِي غَزْوَةِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. And my name has been written to go out in such and such a battle. What a beautiful question. That here this woman, my wife is going out on Hajj. She's not going for some conference. She's not going for some holiday. She's not going for some shopping. But she's going out for Hajj. And this was the Hajj of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today when a person goes, embarks on Hajj, if he spends his time properly, especially on Hajj, he's careful about where he goes. He doesn't unnecessarily go shopping. Doesn't unnecessarily waste time talking in the foyers. He doesn't waste time on the cell phone. Then you'll find that this Hajj can be a life-changing experience. There was one brother I met now on Hajj, that every time this person would see me, he'd just come and hug me and start crying. Every time I realized that this Hajj had such an impact on his heart, that right till the airport now when he reached in Durban, he came again and hugged and started crying and crying and crying. There was another friend of ours, the moment he got news that he got his visa, he started crying, he broke down in crying. And then his staff, non-Muslim staff, asks him, why are you crying? Saying this is some feeling that Allah puts in the heart that I can't even explain to you because you're not a Muslim. So this is the quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put, that this is such a spiritually uplifting safar trip that, can you imagine how spiritually uplifting that journey would be of Hajj in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Would that thought even go through any person's mind to do anything wrong with a woman? At that time the Sahabi is asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if my wife wants to go out of Hajj and my name has been written? He mentions, وَإِنِّي أُكْتُتِبُ فِي غَزْوَةِ كَذَا. My name has been written. Here also this hadith shows us proof that there is some subut, there is some basis for writing names down. Making tashkil and writing names down, there is some subut. This hadith is saying that the Sahabi is saying, and my name is now written down to go out in such and such a battle. So in other words, he's going for such a high cause, such a great cause. And she is also going for such a great cause. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do I do in a case like that? Because he's mentioning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that a woman shouldn't be traveling alone. So he puts this question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala in taliq fa hujja ma imratik muttafaqun alayh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you go and you perform Hajj with your wife. In other words, even such a sacred Mubarak trip like Hajj, even that trip also, don't let the woman travel alone. Can you imagine how much more careful we should be when a woman has to travel on a journey for some other purpose, whatever other purpose it may be, whether it's for, sometimes it's for medication, sometimes it's for treatment, sometimes the person is just going sightseeing, the person is going for holiday, whatever it may be, how much more careful we should be that a woman mustn't travel alone. So this is the respect and izzat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a woman, that all the time she's got somebody to take care of her. In the West, they don't have this concept. In fact, now recently, in Saudi Arabia, they've introduced all these new rules that the woman must start working, the woman must start driving, the woman must be seen in prominent positions, woman must take up positions that previously men would take up. And now even as quick, as soon as this has taken place, some of the seniors there, the people that are experienced, they think automatically we can feel the level of haya that we had before in this country, the level of haya has dropped right down. We can already start feeling the ill effects of this. So the beauty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a woman. And when a woman reduces herself, or she's now reduced like that, then automatically she becomes now, because of being the weaker person, automatically she gets taken advantage of. There's one friend of mine who's running a HIFS class. He mentioned that he actually had to change the morning times of the HIFS class to try and accommodate the students in the afternoon, because he noticed that all the children that needed to come in the morning class, early morning class, 4 o'clock, 4:30, it was only the mothers that were dropping the children off. Fathers were sleeping at that time, and now the woman was made the driver. Sometimes the woman is made to pick up the children, drop the children in school, and do all the other errands like a driver would do, and then she is made to earn and to go out. Yes, there would be circumstances where a woman would need to go out at times, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her that respect, that she is taken care of in that home, the izzat and the respect is given for her. Whatever is needed, it is given and granted to her. Otherwise, automatically she will reduce herself from the queen of the house to the driver, to the earner of the home, and etc. And she would now reduce herself to be going out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that respect. If a person looks at this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the eyes of Iman, he'll realize there's so much of beauty in Islam. So this same hadith that normally people would use, the West would use, and see that there's no rights for women. Actually, what a high level of rights Islam has given a woman. Everything is now taken care of for her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of bringing the beautiful teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. Actually, if a person has love, he has love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he has love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sees hadiths like this, it actually makes him happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done so much. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam has made so much effort. so that we can be protected as far as our iman is concerned, as far as our bodily needs are concerned, as far as our wealth is concerned. Every aspect, whether it's internally or externally, all this is taken care for us, taken care of us in our deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. As we know, today is Friday. We should try and come early for Jumu'ah Salah. We should try and read Surah Kahf and send plenty salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take advantage of the time between Asr and Maghrib. Ulama of the opinion that the du'as are accepted, readily accepted between the period of between Asr and Maghrib. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.